Start the recording. Okay. So welcome to the use case realization call for April 8th, 2020. Today we're going to be hearing from Yuri, and Sarah, Yuri's a PTL. We're going to be listening on about the a talk on the CDS Designer UI client and the CDS customer building blocks and the flexible workflow designer. Some of the upcoming meetings we have next week, a talk with the release manager in ONAP about his vision of the Jira dashboard and the evolution of release management within ONAP. And the following week, there will be no meeting because of the April 21 to 23 virtual subcommittee of a face-to-face event that's happening. And then the following week, the modeling team, Denkwi, Andy, Mayer, and Ophir will be talking about the modeling high-level requirements. So. So Yuri and Sarah, are you ready to present?
Yes, Sarah will present. Okay, I'll just give a quick introduction. Thank you, Ben, for inviting us to this discussion. Yeah. From a CDS project perspective, right now in ONAP, we use CDS for a lot of the provisioning and configuration management automation. And you know, there's a complex part within CDS where you have to create a package manually today to enable this automation. And what we are evolving to with the help with the Orange Egypt team is to create a designer UI where this package creation is completely simplified so that the user doesn't see the complexity of Tasca. So that we can build packages to enable automation for VNF and PNF and CNF use cases. And Sarah will go through the steps as she's leading this effort within the Egypt Orange team of, you know, of developing this designer UI. And we welcome feedback, and we welcome also teams to come and contribute and help us accelerate this development. Go ahead, Sarah.
Thank you, Yuri. Hello, everyone. So I wanted to give you a little information about what we'll be looking at. And of course, you will have time to ask any question. Let me share my screen. Okay, so the screens, these are the screens that we already made for the CDS UI. Just the screens for the designs and all the scenarios that user will go through and of creating the package, starting from the configuration of the package. So, and till he reached the designer mode, which is the interface that that help user create the relationship and the and including the component and functions and of course the actions inside the package. So first let's go to the main screen of the application, which is the package list. Okay, so this is will include all the package created in our application. We divided the location and the type of the packages to here, as you can see here, the deployed and the under instruction and the archived. And of course, once the user and user can create from the screen a new package and import any file for created for previous created packages, and of course he can preview and edit the current created package. So let's go to the next screen, which is the first step of creating a package. This is the screen and the forms that user will create. So we'll have tabs for the metadata and all the other elements of creating the package, the template and mapping, the scripts. And for our next screen, this is for the template and mapping, which is including multiple steps for importing and creating. creating a template or maybe a mapping or maybe both of the two elements, and user can create the auto mapping directly by importing the attributes from diverse options, like using the template he entered, or maybe bring it from an SDC that's already created, or maybe just importing them from a list he has. This is a screen of the auto mapped mapping attributes. Okay, for the next screen we have the scripts. User will import some scripts file, and of course he can edit or add in the code editor and right in the screen. Of course he can delete and add more files. Also we have the import, the same like the script interface, but of course with different type of files, the JSON files, which will include the definition files. And this is for the external system authentication properties. The user just will use the editor to create the definitions. And once the user created the screens and fill in the forms, he can go directly to the designer from the screens here. And this is our main screen we have, the designer, the major component of the application. So the user have the first time the user will access the designer of a package will have multiple types of options to create a function an action. Explain what is the action. It's the main container that will include the functions, and inside this action user can create the relationship between functions and just fill in the attributes of a function or maybe of course the action. And of course the package can include multiple actions at the same time.
Let me just follow, see if I've got the following what you're saying here. So basically this template of first action options, is this a GUI that the first things you can do, the custom default recent and import, those are function actions you can perform, is that right?
Yes. For the designer only.
Okay, thanks.
So the user have one of these options to create. He can create it from scratch, so he will pick the custom action, or maybe, and of course we have default actions that are preset by the admin the application admin. And if user have previous used packages that include an action, so user can get some actions from the recent used by the user, and of course he can import some files of actions. So here for the custom action, he can write down the action name and follow on the screens of this one for the default package. And of course we will have multiple versions of the default package, and user can select from one of the versions and can select one or more actions from this default package. And the same goes for the recent package, but of course this will user will get from a specific package. And here is to import the package. So once the user created a package, whatever the option he chooses to bring the package from, he will get from this screen. So this is the guidance of how to use the designer. And of course, it will appear at the first time, and and gives you, and it will be available anytime the user can get back to it. So it's just describing, this is a wizard that describing the steps for how to initialize the designer action. So this is when we are creating the workflow of this action. So the first step is just selecting the start point, and then a shadow box of the function will appear, and the user will drag and drop the function from a function list that he will have to this box. And once he bring the component, he can choose the flow type for this component, and maybe he can get back to the first step and repeat the steps, this step to bring another component, and of course he can follow up the workflow and create another flows.
So hold on, so Yuri, maybe you need to give, just for those of you who may not be super familiar, maybe just a quick couple sentences about what the purpose of CDS is and how this sort of, you know, why does it exist? It's there for, it has a GUI front end and runtime back end and directs input for displaying design time or runtime activities. Maybe give some background of what we're, why this is being done.
Right. So with CDS, as we provided information in the beginning, right, you are allowed to support provisioning and configuration management capabilities. CDS is fully driven by the design time packages, and what we are reviewing now is the design time UI itself. So what can we automate using CDS, right? So you could create your own task imperative workflow, where you can say within, you know, this specific workflow action, here are the steps you want to take. And you can have steps that are sequential, or you can have steps that are parallel. And what's being illustrated here is how you can create your workflow within CDS, okay? And the workflow is specifically for provisioning. It's not a service orchestration. It's a provisioning workflow. So, for example, if you have SO triggering, let's say the controller to do some post-instantiation action, within that action, you might want to do some config generation. You might want to do some sort of, config deployment. You might want to update some BSS or OSS system. So all those different imperative steps for each of the action can be described as part of design time using the task modeling that is supported within the framework itself. And once this package is created, you deploy it into the runtime systems, and you can have your different runtime components like the blueprint processor or Py executor execute the different actions within those packages that we were defining. Okay, so what Sarah is illustrating in this example is the workflow creation. It's the task imperative workflow creation, where you can create your set of steps, and each step would have a function behind it, and you can describe what that function is.
Great.
Any questions? Yeah. Okay, so, and Sarah also has demonstrated that within CDS, you're not just, you know, once you create your workflows, right, those could be reusable workflows or custom workflow within this package. You can import basically scripts, templates that will be essential artifacts of the workflows that are executed. So why don't we, let's proceed. Perfect. From here.
Thank you, Yuri.
So Yuri, you said that these workflows are strictly for provisioning and configuration. And I know we had talked previously, can we use this to create a, I don't know if I want to call it a building block, but for each of those boxes, can those be pushed to MSO and then pushed to the workflow designer for change management in SDC and be usable?
Yes, there is an integration between MSO and CDS in Frankfurt release, where in the workflow designer, you can define what CDS workflow action you can trigger. So that when you trigger that workflow action, it's done in a generic way. It's not custom. Okay. So what we're trying, you know, as one of the main requirements we have in Frankfurt release as part of the, you know, end-to-end automation is that we want to be able to integrate SO and CDS and policy and CDS components in a generic way. So whenever you have new recipes or new work building blocks, you don't need to provide custom code. And that implementation exists. Chris, I would say we would want to probably have a different discussion on that, but that's something it already is part of Frankfurt. It needs to be certified, and it, you know, it'll be a very powerful framework going forward for the ONAP users, because it allows us to basically introduce new features on the fly as part of design time, rather than, you know, having it bounded to a code release itself.
But right, if I right. can refer a bit, hi Chris, Yuri, if I can refer a bit, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? And if I can refer to what Yuri has said before, because I know, Chris, what you're asking about, in fact, I understand that we can create some generic action and an imperative workflow in the CDS blueprint. And this workflow can be executed from the SO perspective as a singular action. However, decomposed into the smaller actions defined in the blueprint. Okay. Right? Yuri, this is correct?
Yes, there is a generic way that we're implementing SO and policy to interact with CDS controller. So you can execute any VNF, PNF, VF module, or service level action in the generic. And it for any workflow action for controllers. And that's part of the effort. But you know, I want to say that we can, you know, be a separate discussion. In this discussion, we want to on the designer itself. Because it is the first step of, you know, how do we make the CDS task of creation simplified? Because right now it's done manually in ONAP, and this is a mechanism where we can fully automate this process using this designer UI itself. But once, let's say, that package is created, there already in Frankfurt, we have integration with SO and policy where you can also leverage Clamp or leverage SO tables and update those tables to talk to CDS in a generic way, so that it won't require you code changes whenever you introduce new actions and so on.
But one, I think, limitation of such kind of workflows is that whatever the workflow you define in here, this is the workflow executed on the level of singular VNF, right? When instead on the SO, you could define the service level workflow, which could interact with different VNFs belonging to the singular service. But mostly today in SO, we have the VNF level workflows. This is another.
So I can say that within CDS package, there are use cases you can do where you can talk to two different VNFs if you like to. I know Bell has implemented those use cases already. And we can explore those areas. But what I can say that once we have the foundation as part of Frankfurt release, it gives us a lot of flexibility of how we introduce workflows and how we can serve our customers faster with this type of implementation, both from an ONAP perspective, right? Not just from a CDS package perspective, but from the work we're doing in policy and the work we're doing in SO and how all the, that ties to the CDS controller itself.
Yeah, so how it can work? I see that on the level of the SO, you can design your workflows composed of several actions one by one, and each of these actions can be divided into the sub-actions in the CDS. or you can execute from the SO1 action, and it will have many actions, but visible only in, say, in the blueprint, and the composing the blueprint itself into many sub-steps. So we have the flexibility, as I understand.
You will have that flexibility, and as within your organization, you can decide which mechanism you're using for that orchestration itself. But it's an excellent point that, you know, in Frankfurt release, we will get this flexibility. And what Sarah is presenting is how, with the CDS designer, that just the package creation is going to look like. Because what we essentially want to make sure is that from a user experience, they don't see the complexity of what Tasker presents us, right? But it's more of a, you know, drag and drop, and, you know, come bring your scripts, come bring your templates, so that that automation from a closed loop perspective can be supported. And from a speed of delivering product to the market in a faster way is also there, because what we're trying to do is everything is going to be part of design time, and we're trying to not do much, we're trying to do less as part of the code release where possible. Okay, Sarah, any other questions?
Yeah,
you're so Chris right. And Lucas, I would say that if we want to deep dive in the orchestration, that's a runtime discussion. And we should have a separate session for that runtime discussion, for sure.
Yeah, that would be great. Maybe we can have you and Sarah and whoever else join us on our, we have a weekly change management call on Wednesdays at 11 Eastern. So maybe
sure.
We can set something up.
Let's do that, Chris.
Great. I heard so much, Yuri.
Yeah, Yuri, I have another question. This action name that in this GUI that you can select those action name, is that corresponding to the SO building block name?
Yes. So, for example, this action name in this case is test two. That's a function name, right? So, can you go to that? There's an action name. So we have two things here, right? We have function, which is the component, and we have action name, okay, which is action. So there are different attributes. The action name is tied to like config assign, okay? So you can see here, or config deploy. So when you create your workflow, the workflow is gonna be your action. And here you can see there's a specific action attribute section that can define the attributes of the action, okay? But when you select your component, then you get your component attributes and you define the attributes of your component. And that's what Sarah's illustrating in this UI, is that depending on what you're selecting, either your action or your component, you'll get different right-hand functions to kind of, or boxes to kind of fill in the form for the action or for the attribute, or for the workflow action.
So if we deploy a new building block in SO, how should we update this the list on the left that you have this action name there? It has
so
to be manually.
The question becomes, is this action an existing action in CDS? If it is an existing action, then you want to reuse from the default package that action and drag it here. Okay, and when you drop that action here, it will bring in the components that it's tied to, and the only thing you have to do is tie it to the templates or the script that you want to execute with that specific action.
Yeah, but okay, please continue. I will ask later.
Yeah. My question is that for instance, in SO, we deploy some new building blocks, which means that we need to have corresponding action name in CDS. Should we upload that action name in CDS manually, or there's a procedure to do it?
Well, it all depends. Do you have a package that already supports this action in CDS? If the answer is yes, you don't need to do anything, because what SO is triggering could be a reusable action that is already declared in CDS, which you need when you create your package, you just drag and drop it inside your package. Oh, if you have a package that you're newly creating and it requires a new action, then you have a mechanism to either create that custom action with this designer, or you can import that custom action in this designer. So those are the things that Sarah was sharing. Sarah, can you go back to that form where we have the different? Yeah. So as you can see, right, you have your custom actions you can create. You can use from default, that's your catalog of actions. You can use the most recent action, or you can, or the idea is you can import, right? So that's, so this is, remember, this is a prototype, right? Not all of this is done. We're looking for the community to help us to accelerate some of this development. There's a big chunk that was done by Orange team, and we're hoping we get additional contributors to finalize, you know, the designer package implementation. But the idea, the main idea here is that you can create your custom actions if it doesn't exist. You can use the default because you might have already created it and you made it as part of your default catalog, or you can use a recent or import one. Does that address your question, Zo?
Yeah, that's good. Thanks. Right. Another one is this GUI, this CDS GUI. Is that integrated with SDC as a plugin, or is that still standalone?
So right now our focus, we do have a roadmap to get to SDC integration, but right now what we like to do is finish the designer implementation, because the designer part is not fully completed in Frankfurt release. We would like to get the community to finish the designer implementation, and then we can also look into how we expose these packages, right, into the SDC catalog, so that within SDC you can make it a drag and drop type of option, because it'll be part of the SDC catalog. But that's a roadmap discussion. We may get to G release depending on the implementation we are doing in the designer itself.
Okay, but if it's happening G release, it will be a plugin, or it's any other options?
Right now it's not a plugin, but it's more like publishing the catalog in SDC, and it's part of the SDC catalog itself.
Okay, I see.
Okay, that's the idea, but we would need the community to help that implement that idea. And this could work for both CNAPS, PNAPS, VNAPS. So we want to make sure that the implementation would be generic, and can apply for any of the use cases that we support. And I know Samsung did some good work of how they did something with Heat. I think we can take some of those learnings and to see how we can move it to more of a, you know, publishing those artifacts into SDC as a within the SDC catalog, so it becomes more generic and becomes a drag and drop experience for the SDC user as well. Okay, so Sarah, please proceed.
Okay. This is our canvas, the canvas of any action we created, and you can see here the list of actions we have, and an empty canvas that stated the workflow that for this specific action. And as you can see here, for the selected action we have, we will have the list of attributes for this action, and user will fill it, and okay. And for the next step, as we mentioned in the wizard, once the user select the start point, he will have a shadow box to bring the component to this box from this. Once the start point is selected and the shadow box is showing the canvas, the function list will appear here. And user will select the component, and this is the types of components we have. I mean the functions we have. So the user will drag and drop to this box, and creating and this is the starting workflow we have. And user can add more steps, as we can see here, and the following steps, the same way we created the first function, and. And so on, the user can reach this point where we have an imperative workflow So you can see here we have a success type of flow and a failure flow, failure status. And of course, once the user click on any component of this, he will have this function attribute side for this specific component. And the next element we have for each action, we have the template that's appearing in the list before here. This is an example what for the template elements. That's showing the component requirements and capabilities below each component, and the user can create a relationship between the requirement and component capability of other functions. And by the enrichment, this will bring other components that has a dependency for the current component functions we have. And let's see the example of how to create a relationship between any components. So once the user drag and drop the relationship from maybe like this capability to the next screen, the requirements like this one here. So this is just showing the steps and the animation of the drag and drop. And once the relationship is created, the user will have to define the relationship type from the list of our relationship types here. And that's it for the relationship. The other options the user will have is to switch between the drag and drop function.
Can I ask folks to mute? I'm hearing like construction work in the back.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's you. Oh,
this is in the building. Okay. Yeah, that's in the building. I'm sorry. Okay, so. For each function, the user can use the code editor to write the attributes and maybe creating the relationship. This is I think this is like the old status of current ONNet. I mean the current CDS that user just implementing the relationship and typing the functions by code editor, so it's still a function that's available for the user.
Can you import text there, or do you have to type all that in by hand?
Yeah, he can copy and paste in the editor. So this is demonstrating the components we have. So once the component is placed, it will be of course appear in the code editor.
I ask a question. This input parameter here you are showing here. This is the input parameter for the function itself, right? Is it taken from other function or is that taken from the action?
Let me answer that question, Sarah. It could be both. It could be this function can get input from the workflow action, for example, or you can have one function do the resource resolution, and you can use like a get attribute expression to get the attribute from another function.
Okay, but if in case it's taken from the action, from the workflow, is that a part of the CDS self-service API that you have a payload field you take from there?
Yes, but you would use the get input expression, right? And that get input expression will get input from workflow, and you describe what input you're getting.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And essentially, what you will be able to do with your function attributes and workflow attributes is use the Tosca expressions to describe how you're getting those inputs resolved that are required by the component or by required by the workflow itself. So you can see the resolution key is get input resolution key, right? Might have other items that you in your component input that you might want to describe.
Okay, I see.
So as you can see here, the user for can switch between the designer and the scripting modes. Let's go to the screen, and this is the scripting mode. Adjust an editor, and user can create the file and creating a folder, and just typing
wait,
the.
Can you describe a little bit more? What's the difference? Like, why is there a scripting mode, and why is there a designer? What do they do? What are they for?
Okay, the designer, the interface that by dragging and drop Alt-E. And user Yuri, I think you can describe this more.
Yeah, sure. So the designer is intended to the, you can say, regular users, okay, where they just want to drag and drop simple experience. The scripting mode is more for experienced user / developer, where they might feel like they rather have like an editor type of functionality where they can just edit things in the inside the file itself and make things, you know, kind of move faster along, right? Depending on your experience, you might want to go with scripting or designer, but our approach saying that we, you know, we have two types of users where they have two different needs of user experiences, and that's why we make this mode available here as well.
That makes sense. Okay, thanks.
The only thing I want to say is that this, like here you can see there's an explicit enrichment process that is the user driven. On the designer mode, the enrichment process is implicit, so it's all driven based on drag and drop capabilities that you're doing. So again, you know, the designer is supposed to be more simpler, more easy to use than the scripting mode. Scripting mode is more for the experienced one.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. And a UI would be better than just the possibility to edit pure Tosca.
Of course, right? Tosca is a great concept. All we're trying to do is how do we make it simplified, right? So that the users are not aware of the Tosca concepts. They're just there to, you know, either fill out a form or bring their templates or bring their scripts so they can enable all this great automation that ONAP can provide.
Yeah, it can be a pain to edit like the full Tosca by hand too, at least all the lower level detail stuff, yeah.
Right, and can you imagine if you make a syntax error, right?
Oh, so gosh, yeah.
If you have YAML or JSON, you know, you don't want to deal with that. So the designer is very critical. Like we believe that this will, simplify and also help expedite, you know, the delivery of different organizations to the market. So that's why we would like to get the community help to accelerate this development so that it can be available for everyone to use and everybody can leverage these concepts and you know, not struggle with the different Tosca capabilities itself. Okay, Sarah, please proceed.
Okay, this is showing how you can create another action from the designer itself. And this will give you some details about the current package. So this is for our designer. As I mentioned, this is the main components we have.
So that package you showed us, can you say what, so you basically, in the one screen you're saying you have a new action you're going to create, and then there's the package you mean, what package do you mean? Like not the vendor package or the onboarded package, you mean something else, right? The CSAR package, what package?
So this is the control, CDS has a controller blueprint archive package that is created today. It's made up of template scripts, workflow actions, and other elements. This package can be onboarded into SDC when it's created. So what this GUI is doing is creating the CDS specific package. that it is used for automating the configuration and provisioning needs within ONAP. Okay, so think of it, that you're doing instantiation and you want to say, here how IPs are being resolved, here's how your name is being resolved, here are some defaults, how they're being resolved, or you're doing some post-instantiation step, or you're doing scale out, scale in, you need an automation package, right? You need a model of how that automation will work, and this is what the CBA package is providing itself.
I see. And is it sort of modular? Do you say, or is it defined by, are there artifacts essentially in this package that each defines something specific, or?
Yes, there are. We follow the Tosca convention. We have a a metadata folder. I don't know if Sarah, do you have an example of a CBA that you can just showcase? And what we can do, Ben, we can provide a link to the modeling concept. You can take a look at it as well. In that modeling concept, it kind of gives you the structure of the CBA package and what's included in the CBA and what capabilities are supported. Today, we use it for VNFs, PNFs, and CNFs for different use cases itself. So we can definitely share the, is the definition of the package itself. Sorry, go to 8.1, the generic script. The structure is there. Okay, so you can see you have a script section where you import all the scripts. You have a template section where all the templates go. There's a Tosca meta folder that describes what this package is. We have a definitions folder, which you don't see here, but there's a definition folder that will describe all the workflow actions and all the data types and other capabilities for this package, right? Think of this package as like your own custom executable that you can execute any your own actions. It's a portable specific package, right? It can be executed and it can interact with any of the external interfaces you need and the network to deliver the network experience that users are expecting. Lucas, you want to add anything to that, or Joseph?
So far, so good.
Okay, very good. All right, any questions, Ben?
Yeah, so there are these fixed scripts, for example, and these JSON things. Are these manually defined? Are they onboarded somewhere? Are they created from something? Like, how do you... These anatomical artifacts, where do you get them from, or how do you define them?
So the users may have scripts already that they can just copy and paste into the package, right? Or they can create the script inside the package itself. And same thing for the templates, right? So the template could be, you might have a template that you want to talk to a Juniper or a Cisco or Nokia device, right? Or Ericsson device, right? So you create a template. And that template would generate configlets that will talk to your downstream systems. Or you may want to just have within templates, just define your data dictionary because your template is Helm or it's your heat file, right? So all you need is to define how to resolve the different parameters needed for those templates, your Helm or your heat file, so that this information is going to be persisted in MDCell, so SO can pick it up and send it to either OpenStack or multi-cloud to do the instantiation of the Helm or the heat file itself. So depending on your use case, this information can be either provided by the user or defined inside the package by the user themselves.
I see. Thank you. And also, where is all this stored? Is there a database or is this stored in like the SDC catalog or something? Or where is all this going?
Once this package is created, there's two ways to distribute this package to runtime. You can do this through the GUI, Or you can go to the SDC, and as part of SDC, you can onboard the CBA package as an artifact and distribute the CSER file with the CBA package inside of it, DCA blueprint package, and other information inside the CSER can be distributed across all ONAP components. CDS does have a SDC listener that it listens to for this specific artifact and as part of the CSER distributions and persisted in the runtime data store inside CDS. Okay. Any other questions, Ben?
Yeah, no, thank you.
Okay, Sarah, please proceed.
Excuse me, Yuri. A question. You talked about distribution of the CBA package to ONAP components. What are the components that are interested in receiving a CBA in the ONAP architecture, but CDS one?
The CBA artifact itself currently is the blueprint processor or the SDC listener that feeds the blueprint processor. That's the main two components. There is some metadata related to, you know, the CBA that other components refer to. For example, SO refers to the CBA information or CLAMP in Frankfurt release and SDNC. For example, for SO, if SO is trying to do, you know, post instantiation, it needs to know which package it needs to trigger for the given resource that is trying to execute, and it uses that as these that metadata to trigger the correct artifact name and CBA version to execute the action within CDS itself. SDNC does the same thing for resource resolution of instantiation use case. CLAMP will do the same thing for defining the, you know, the closed loop, control loop type of recipes itself.
Okay, is there any picture? Is there any diagram that show the relationships between the CDS runtime module and all the other ONAP components? Because if I look at the Frankfurt architecture, I see the CDS just placed in the design part of the overall architecture, but nothing is about CDS is shown in the runtime part.
Right, because CDS is part of the controller architecture, so it's embedded inside the SDN controller. So
SDN controller, you mean SDNC?
SDNC, right. Okay. So if you look at the architecture, right, CDS is just a toolkit as part of the SDN controller, like similar to what ODLs are or the DG or the SLI, right? We don't showcase those type of capabilities, but they're part of the, you can say, the CCSDK SDNC controller architecture. So it's embedded inside there. But you're right, there needs to be probably, improved documentation that talks about some of these flows from a design time and runtime perspective. And, this is something that maybe we can get the community to help us do for Frankfurt release.
Okay. And last question, just to give an overview of the CDS, because there's a lot of documentation about the CDS itself, how to design, how it works internally, but there's nothing about the role of CDS in the big picture of the ONAP architecture. If I look at the overall picture, I see a lot of controllers from CDNC to OPSD, VFC, and so on. What do you believe is the role of CDS in the future with respect to all these controllers? Is there any strategy to try to simplify the overall architecture?
Yes, there is a strategy to simplify the overall architecture. I'm working with Dan Simony on this strategy, and we will probably present something, in a couple of weeks on the overall strategy for controller simplification and consolidation as well. So I want to say that, yes, there's something coming. We're internally trying to finalize it before externally sharing those ideas.
Yeah, that is something that's very confusing to a lot of people, for sure. Yeah.
And when you say in a couple of weeks, are you talking about the architecture committee in group or where else?
It's probably going to be part of architecture committee, yes.
Well, there's but a virtual conference to be... also happening April 21 to 23, right? Maybe he's referring to that.
Right, we have to see how that works out, but we definitely want to present, you know, the controller simplification strategy. We would like to see NONAP adopt, and that's something that we're working with, you know, the PTL for CCSDK and SDNC to achieve itself from the overall bigger picture.
Thanks.
Very good question. All right, Sarah, let's proceed with the other screens.
Okay, this is our data dictionary listing. And we are following the same experience that user has with the package lists. And we have the data dictionary boxes here. And of course, user can create or import a previous data dictionary to this list. So by creating a data dictionary, we are creating one data dictionary in here. And we have, of course, the metadata and the sources. And the user here can drag and drop some source options to the source list for this data dictionary. And we have to the editor. The other important thing of data dictionary is the import part that the user can import for multiple types of importing here. The user can import single file or maybe bulk files of data dictionaries, or maybe just again importing from the SDC. And this is the connection between the CDS and the integration between it and the SSC. And user, by following the steps in here, just selecting some attributes and loading and then creating the grouping of the data dictionary. Again, these are the steps. Okay. And once the user submits this configuration, he will have multiple data dictionaries from one step.
Just out of curiosity, what are we looking at? Is this like a, this isn't a PowerPoint slide, this is some interactive U prototype GUI UI thing that you know, you're scrolling around all these things. I'm just kind of curious. What are these things? Do you understand my question? So these aren't PowerPoint slides, right? They're
mock-up. They're prototypes. Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. So before we, you know, Sarah's the UX expert in the Orange Egypt group team, and basically before we do development, right, we want to make sure we put together the right design. The design has the right user experience. The way we work is Sarah puts these mockups together. The CDS UI team works together and provides Sarah some feedback around it based on some of the experiences. And there's some adjustments made, and then the development starts. So what Sarah is presenting is the prototypes.
I see.
Okay. And so,
what is this software that is able to prototype prototype done in? What is this software done in?
Okay, it's calling Sketch app, and there's plenty of different applications that we can use to create a prototype.
I see. Thank you. Okay.
So, one question. Yeah. If we are already in the data dictionary part, this is good, but in the same time, because As far as I remember, there is no versioning of the data dictionary, and this data dictionary can evolve over the time. So if we share the definitions in the data dictionary across different blueprints, and we don't do the versioning, and the entry in the data dictionary will change, there is quite high probability that it will stop to work properly in some blueprints defined before. In some of others will work like it should, but in my opinion, there should be some versioning of this entries in the data dictionary. And the data dictionary used in the CBA should be, let's say, used of the particular version. Yeah? But just a comment, Yuri.
And that's something, Lucas, you can create a, let's create a user story to support, and then we can address that both in the UI and in the backend.
But do you in general understand what is the...
Yeah, I understand your concern.
Okay.
So this GUI, that something can be shared?
Yes, we have a way to share these screens, especially for the folks that are interested in doing development.
Okay, having all the plan of the implementation of this UI, which we can see on this mockup, how much of this UI would be implemented in the Frankfurt News?
That's a very good question. The Orange team has developed the package creation. They did also designer, but it's not fully done in the designer. I don't know if you can, okay, she's gonna spring it up. Very good.
Just small additional technical question. This is React, Angular, or what is in the backend of the UI?
Angular.
Okay.
Angular for the UI, loopback for the UI server.
Okay.
So if you have Angular, Node.js experience or loopback, you know, it's going to be a perfect complement for this development.
Yeah, sure.
So you're building the theory, you're building the software on the fly. I mean, linting is you're compiling, right? And checking for errors.
Right. So Sarah is starting the software so she can showcase what has been built as of right now.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is the list of the packages. The first screen, as we mentioned. And the thing that is running now is the creation and the listing here. So we can create now. So this is the creation, the package configuration screens. And once we created a package, let's say, maybe. Okay, and just by that, we can create the screen. Okay, we didn't give it any name. I think something is going wrong in here. Just one of the just as under testing nowadays. So I think we can see that another one that we already have. So this is a created one. Template I'm adding here. Maybe like we can import a file. Okay. We can use these attributes to create the auto mapping. This is an example of the automapped attributes. And the next release, we will the user can already make some changes to the created to this automap table and maybe the automap and of course and add another attributes. Here that we have the scripts. Okay, so maybe the list of score scripts. Of course, this is an. The same goes for the imports. This one we already have for. And that's for the external. And by clicking this button, the user should go to the designer mode, but I'll go manually. But this is not fully implemented designer, and of course we will still need more effort to implement the actions and screens, but this is a simplifier. This is a drag and drop. But of course, as I mentioned, this is not completed yet. And that's it for the deployed interfaces for the package creation. Okay, any question here? And go back to the screens. And this is for the control catalog. And again, the same listing, but with different elements that identify each catalog. We have here the name and some tags of this catalog, and we were defining the type of this catalog. This is a creation screen. And finally, we have the config management. And the creation is from the same screen. The user entered the service name and the IP address and will be inserted in this list. And that's all from the screens we have. So any questions so far? Hello?
Yeah, no, are there any questions for Sarah?
Maybe I will just repeat the initial question, just more or less the percentage of the implementation, because we can't fully understand what is the effort behind the other features that still needs to be developed.
So there is
just more or less.
Right, so I can say the package designer is around 50% done. So we want that part to be completed, okay? Data dictionary, we already have Tech Mahindra working on it, so I believe that will be done. But what we're looking for is mainly within the designer area, package designer area, to get the contribution in that section so we can complete that within the accelerated time frame. But it's around 50% complete, and we need an additional 50% to get it done fully.
Okay, great. Any final thoughts or questions to Yuri or Sarah?
Alessandro speaking. Thanks for the presentation, the explanation of the great work that you did. I'm wondering if it is available also to see something about the runtime part. I mean, here we have seen all this in the part. Let me say the distribution should be as usual. The different ways we can put in place to recall the VA packages may be worthwhile to be shown. I mean, we have internally we have tested the way to call the time function indicating some parameters. Are there any other ways to recall?
Alessandro, your voice gets disrupted.
Okay. Do you hear me better?
A little bit. Yeah. I think you're asking something about the runtime.
Yeah. So I was saying that maybe it's worth showing something about the ways that we have to recall the CDS actions. For example, we have used now the API call indicating a specific CDA to be recalled. So I'm wondering if there are other ways and if you can show something about that, maybe in the future.
I think Ben, we can add some, maybe within the next month or so, maybe 2 months, a month, add like a placeholder for discussing of the runtime execution. Yeah. And that runtime execution, depending on the use case, right? For example, Lucas or the Samsung team can do the CNF use case, okay? The PNF use case can be showcased by Zhu and his team with Ericsson, and the VNF use case can be done by myself and maybe some other teams.
That would be good.
And we can, so there are three, and there's also closed loop, right? So I want to say there are three areas that we can demonstrate this runtime with, how we're doing things for Frankfurt, how Frankfurt, I believe, is a big game changer for ONAP, leveraging these capabilities. But it'll probably take a month or so for us to get the, stable environment and make sure all the kinks are worked out and within the ONAP current image itself for Frankfurt. So then we can showcase those capabilities.
That'd be good. I can definitely schedule some paper. All right, great. I think we're at time. So thank you everybody for attending. I hope you found this useful. You can listen to the recording. I'll upload at the end of into the page that we're all on. So thank you again, Yuri and Sarah, and we'll schedule another thing for runtime. I think I heard some interest in that as well. So, okay, have a good day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Bye.